Hebrews chapter 12. If you found your place, let me ask you to stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word, if you're able, and as well to stretch. I see some of you nodding off. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5. The Word of God says, "And ye have forgotten." Now, sometimes we forget. We forget the Word of God, and we need to be reminded. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you." By the way, the Word of God still speaks. It is inspired, inerrant, perfectly preserved for us. "The exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son he receiveth. I want to preach on God's woodshed tonight. God's woodshed, the chastening of the Lord. Father, we ask that you would take this time we have remaining, Lord, that we would use it wisely as we dig into your word. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight enduring and experiencing the chastening hand of God, I pray they would repent. I pray they would return and be restored by your grace. Lord, I pray every one of us that experience your love in this area would look at it a little differently. Trust you, thank you, and make the changes and allow your spirit to do the work in our life that you have designed by your grace in your chastening hand. We thank you for your love and for your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. You know, there's a difference between discipline and really abuse. You know, think about it. Much of the world, when they think about spanking today or discipline, they put in some category of child abuse. And by the way, there is a very real reality and an area that we need to be careful about, and that's abusing what God has laid out in his word. And you know that abuse, if you look at it, is an abnormal use of what God has. And God has laid out discipline. God has laid out chastisement. God has laid out scourging. That's in Scripture. You know, done the right way, it's God's way. But done the wrong way, it's what God has nothing to do with. So we're not speaking about that tonight. We're speaking about the loving correction, the direct discipline that a father and our Heavenly Father has for children that he loves. And we're looking at this evening with this word, chastening. Chastening. We're to thank the Lord for taking us to the woodshed. We're to thank the Lord for his chastening hand. This word chastening is the word that speaks of a child. It's the word paideia, which you hear the word or the idea of someone who works with children. It means child training, instruction, discipline. It's translated in your Bible as instruction or mature. In fact, it speaks less of really the spanking side of it and more of the directing and the disciplining side of it. By the way, good discipline involves discipleship. That is a form of discipleship as you discipline, and it should be discipline. You're not engaging, you're not enacting vengeance or punishment as much as you are teaching and training in the way this should go. And sometimes it takes the training of the rod, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. That helps us remind us of the truth of God's, what we work to do. We'll look at suffering tonight, and really, I want to briefly go through this area. You know, everything that bad happens to you is not necessarily the chastisement of God. We don't want to be under any condemnation tonight or difficulty. Do you understand that sometimes it's just the natural experience of life? We live in a world that is dying and decaying, and there are times that there will be difficulty. Our bodies will groan. Don't think that's because you have a knee problem that God's chastening you. That could be the case, but it could just be the fact that you're getting old. I think of the lady in her 80s that she called for a pastor and said, "I want to confess all my sins because I'm experiencing these backaches and all these difficulties, and I want to get cleansed and get right and get healed." And she said, "Could you tell me why I'm suffering?" And said, "I do. I know. The Lord let me know you're getting old." You know, there are times we're just going to face the difficulties of life. There are other times we're going to suffer persecution. In fact, the Word of God says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you've never suffered persecution, if you've never been made fun of for your faith, if you've never been put in a box or persecuted or ridiculed, don't let anybody know. Because they're just letting everybody else know you're not living godly for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to suffer persecution. And then others will experience like Job did. Remember Job and his friends? They said it was the chastening hand of God. And it wasn't. Job had the trial of his faith, and little did he know that up in heaven, God had allowed and God had told Satan that he was going to allow Job to go through a season of suffering to test him. not to test in the sense so he would deny or would leave, but to test that he wouldn't. To show him off and allow him to say, listen, Job could get to the point where he could say, naked came into the world, naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord just allows us to go through trials of our life to develop patience, as we spoke about last week. To develop hope in our life, to take us through. And other times, the Lord is just taking us to the woodshed. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Verse 5 says they had forgotten the exhortation. What exhortation? Well, back in Proverbs, if you want to hold your place here, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And Proverbs is really, if you want wisdom, go to Proverbs. Someone shared this with me early in college that if you want to know what to read in the Bible, just go find the day of the week, or rather the day of the month, find that date and read the Proverbs of that day. It's 31 Proverbs. At the most, there's 31 days of the month. So find that, get wisdom from God's Word, and get the Proverbs and be wise. And as I've been going through Proverbs, there's a lot to say about discipline and correction and parenting and instruction. The very beginning starts off, my son, hear these words, do these things. Well, Proverbs 3, verse 11, the Word of God says, my son, here it is, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So this chastening is correction. Do you see that in the text? The Hebrew, correction, Greek, chastening, it's all connected. It's God's correction and God's chastisement because he loves us. Now, I could tell that, of course, you read through the book of Proverbs, you say if you hate your child, you won't spank your child. It says that if you love them, you'll correct them. If you love them, you'll chasten them. And I'm thankful, and I know that my dad must have really loved us. My mom, too. Now, my dad had a very particular way of disciplining. My mother would just sometimes just grab the hanger and have at it, sometimes the hand. And my dad had it all planned out. He took it literally, the rod of correction. So he tried to find what he thought was in the Hebrew or Greek text, a thin rod. And so he found the thinnest type of rod that he could possibly come up with. And he took the top part of the fishing pole off and used the bottom half. Took the hook off, hallelujah for that. Took the bottom half of the fishing pole, used that last piece with the handle. I'm glad he didn't have the reel. He wasn't fishing for anything. But he wrapped the handle with duct tape. He was ready to go. It was the rod. I'm glad he was comfortable with that hand wrapped in duct tape. And I remember trying to find that thing and hide it around the house. And I remember the rod. I was whipped into shape with a fishing pole. So I was never really taken to the woodshed. How many of you were actually literally taken to a woodshed before, all right? Anybody need a woodshed? Any woodshed believers here tonight? That explains what's wrong with y'all. No, I'm kidding. But years ago, the idea was if you're going to spank a child, you go down the woodshed. And they pick out the piece of wood. And you get whipped with the piece of wood that you pick out. I don't know. I think I would have preferred that. I would have picked a splinter or something. And my dad would send me up to the room to, you've heard from some evangelists not to spank upset. He never spanked angry. And I don't think we should. I don't think we discipline angry. I think we've got to go direct them in prayer and preparation for what's to come. And I'm thankful for that evangelist. Because when I was sent up to the room, I prepared. I prepared spiritually and physically. I put on so many pairs of underpants. I found so many books that I could stuff my backside. And so it was time to come. I was ready to face the discipline. And I learned very quickly to respond to correction. Now I'm a middle child. I learned quickly these things. I watched my older sister not respond to some things. I remember when she wouldn't eat the food that was in front of her. And I remember what happened when she wouldn't touch the meatloaf. And I, when it came my turn, I opened my mouth wide. Give me the meatloaf. I'm ready for the meatloaf. My brother was a little younger. He missed out on a little bit of that and all the fun stuff my older sister went through. And so he really was training part two. And I would get one or two spankings, that was it for me. I would actually go to the spanking prepared. Remember, backside prepared. I'm not giving any tips tonight to kids, hopefully not. But I had the seed of learning, the book prepared, and I was ready to go. And I would say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I'm wrong. I learned really quickly. I learned how to lessen the whippings real quickly. My brother was a little bit tougher. So it took sometimes just a rebuke. My dad said, hey, watch it. I said, yes, sir, you're right. I'm not going to mess around. I'm not going to the woodshed. I'm not getting the fishing pole, all right? We're not going no fishing here today, all right? We're going to go on. And Well, my brother sometimes would go, no, I don't think so. And so he would get whipped. And of course, I'd be on the outside as my dad would be spanking my son and my brother. Not my son, but it might happen sometimes too. I don't know. But he was spanking my brother, and I would say, James, don't give up. Don't quit. Hold on strong. Don't give in to the man. All right, but I probably should have been whipped by doing that. I was kind of egging it on. And he'd go on and he'd go on. And my dad would just really encourage him because he loved him. He loved him. He spanked him. And he'd say that, you know, James is a sinner. And he'd say, no. I said, James, you're not a sinner. You're not a sinner. You hold on strong. And so he'd go on and on. And a few minutes later, say, James is a sinner. And I remember my brother trusting Christ as Savior after a spanking. And I'm thankful for that. Or that was part of the testimony of the Lord losing his life. And sometimes we forget. We're thankful for godly discipline, for direction. I knew my dad loved me. He never lost his temper. He never got angry. He never beat us physically in the flesh. He'd tell us that phrase, and I'm sure he was lying. I never caught my dad lying until he said, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I would say, he's lying. I know he's lying. There's no way it hurts me. How many of y'all had parents that said that? And you thought they weren't telling the truth until you became a parent. And you have to spank your kids. And I tell my kids that it does. It hurts me more than it hurts them. But if you love your child, you discipline your child. And God loves us. If you look here tonight at this chastisement of God's woodshed, I think we got notes tonight. Look, first of all, at the motive of chastisement. I'm thankful for the motive of chastisement. Listen, you look at God's motive. Notice verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. By the way, that's one of the proofs of eternal security. God deals with you as with sons. He does not disown his children when we sin. We don't have to prove ourselves over and over again that we are his child or stay his child. Once we're his child, we're always his child. He deals with us as sons. When your child disobeys or disrespects, you don't send him out of the house and say, that's it, you're gone. I hope not. You love them. You discipline them. You chasten them. The Lord deals with us as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards, not sons. One of the proofs that we're saved is that we have chastening. If there is no conviction of sin, if there's no chastisement from sin, say tonight, most likely you're not saved. In fact, I didn't say that. The Bible says it. It says, if you have no, I'll say clearly, if there's no chastisement or correction, I'll say what the Bible says, you are not born again. You never had it. It's not as if you had it and you lost it. You never had it. Judas was a devil from all along. One day up in heaven, those that reject Christ, those that walk away, those that thought they were saved will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. And those that say, how can somebody be saved and commit this sin? I'll ask the same question. Someone who's truly saved is a new creature. All things have become new. A Christian who sins is the most miserable person he could possibly be. I'm not saying you never backslide. I'm not saying you never have to sin or live a carnal Christian life. But I am saying that somebody who is saved and is truly saved will experience conviction of sin. They can't enjoy sin like a Christian can. They can't continue on. And maybe tonight, if you're enjoying sin and there's no conviction and there's no chastisement, you better get a checkup on your Christian life and your testimony of salvation. Because chastisement shows that we're his children. It confirms sonship. It compels sanctification. The Word of God says, but if you without chastisement, we're not sons. We're furthermore, we that have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father of spirits and live? The reverence. Correction should let us know what the Lord wants. God speaks to us. When he convicts us, we should respond. It should just take a rebuke. It shouldn't get to that next step. We should respond to the Word of God in reverence. And when a father is training his child, by the way, I believe every parent should almost discipline themselves out of a job. Really? Training. At some point, all you have is influence. But right now, if they're in your house, under your roof, you've got discipline. You've got training. And you should train your children and direct your children to obey God, ultimately. But understand, good training, good parenting produces reverence. Fear, that's the word fear. You ask me, were you ever afraid of your dad? Now, the idea of being afraid of my dad as some sort of angry, abusive individual, that never happened in my life. I was never afraid of my father being out of control. But if I was in sin, I was afraid. If I had done wrong, I knew very clearly what was going to happen and the training and the chastisement that would come with that. And you see, I wasn't afraid or in reverence or in fear when I was doing right and serving. If I was doing wrong, I wasn't fear. Listen, a Christian who is sinning ought to be very afraid. I should have reverence in a sense. Sometimes you won't hear preaching like this in churches today. They'll focus on the fact of God is love, God is love. And yes, God is love. If you understand that God's defining attribute is holiness, because it's a holy love, not any kind of love. It's a holy justice, it's a holy... Listen, His defining attribute is holy, holy, holy. And God's purpose for your life is to be like Jesus Christ, to be ye holy, for I am holy. And He loves you. And so because He loves you, He's going to correct you and He's going to help you and train you to be like Him. Any parent that loves their child, trains their child, disciplines their child, chastens their child, not to hurt them. That's abuse. It's misuse of chastening, misuse of scourging, but to help them, to train and develop. So your children do right, and you obey laws when you get older, and you obey authority. And one of the problems of today in society is that we have raised Dr. Spock generation kids. He wonders what's going on with all the riots and the complaining, all the problems. There's a bunch of brats. Their parents didn't spank them and train them and direct them and say, this is right, this is wrong. Here's what happens when you do wrong. You get trained, you get scourged, you get chastened. And I'm thankful for the Lord. I've shared this often. I tell my kids, don't put their fingers in a light socket. I've shared that for all six children. And 1 through 5 did pretty good. Now, Jesse, for some reason... He's the sixth one. We call him Messy Jesse because he's just a Messy Jesse. And he'll go for anything. Today, this afternoon, he was choking on something because he had put it in his mouth. And he just is wide open little boy. And so he goes, literally, I've seen him go to the light sockets. And I'm going, no, don't touch the light sockets. He'll go for the front door. If you leave that front door open for a second, you know where I live. I live on Chelsea Highway there. Chelsea, stop coming through my street. Go around. Be considerate. People flying through there 1 o'clock in the morning think it's a freeway, but I don't know where I got on that. I'm just going off, but people fly through there. And so Jesse will get out. If there's a split second, he'll get in that front yard. And because we don't want him to have a shocking experience in the light socket, and we don't want him to run out of the car, we direct him. Now, we don't beat on him. Of course not. He's an infant. He's a child. We say, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. Jesse, don't. No. No's a good word, by the way. It's a needed word. God says no, that's a good thing. He's trying to help us. He's trying to develop us. Don't do that. I don't want you to go there. If your parents let you do everything you want to do all the time, you'd mess your life up. If God lets you do whatever you want to do all the time, you'd mess your life up. Because sometimes God says no. Sometimes God chastens and directs us. Our fathers chasten us. Because they love us. It confirms our sonship. It compels sanctification. We want to be like Him. Remember, discipleship with discipline. Keep that in mind, parents. You're not enacting vengeance. You are discipling your child to be like you. And when God chastens us, He is discipling us to be like Him. Word of God goes on in verse number 6. As we see in the text here, if you disobey or transgress my word, I do not chastise you. It's the sign that I never fathered you. Had I fathered you, I would have chastened you. God does not whip the devil's children. And there are some kids that I have wanted to chastise, but they're not my kids. I'm not responsible for them. But I look at my children, I'm responsible for them. You're responsible for yours. You see, the Lord has us in His hands. One of the reasons why an unsaved person won't receive chastisement is because they belong to the devil. They're not part of God's family. Chastisement reveals that relationship and that sonship. It's not punishment. Punishment is the work of the judge. Chastening is the work of the Father. Punishment is handed out to uphold the law. Chastening is given out as a proof of love for the bettering of the child. And too often when we experience chastisement, we rebel against God's loving hand. Instead, we should submit and thank the Lord for it. The enemy will say that trials of life and even chastisement is proof that God does not love us. But God's Word says that sufferings are the best proof that He does love us and that He's still working on us. It compels that sanctification to be like Him. It cleanses sin. Think about Jonah. Remember, he was backslid against God. He went the opposite direction and swallowed up by that whale. By the way, those that have mocked that, just recently, if you saw yesterday, there was a news article up in Massachusetts. A man was swallowed by a whale and survived. So all those liberals and God deniers that said it was just an allegorical story need to understand that it really happened here recently, just yesterday. Swallowed by a whale, and he was spit up upon the land, and the Lord loved him enough to chasten him, to give him a second chance. Notice, secondly, the manner of chastisement. How does God chasten you? And here's a good takeaway for us of how to train and discipline our children. I believe it first starts with rebuke. It says, don't faint when you are rebuked of Him. I think it starts with rebuke. And that's where you need to stay. When God speaks, you respond. Aren't you thankful tonight that when we sin, there isn't a lightning bolt that comes down from heaven and zaps you? But there is something on the inside called the Holy Spirit that says, that's not right. It's wrong. Get it right. And if you respond to that, praise the Lord. You don't have to go any further. Because the Lord loves you. And the same thing for my child. He runs down the front street and I say, hey, Jesse, come on in. I don't have to run after him and get him and bring him in. If he just responds and turns, it's good. He's ready. But if he goes further, I got to go further. I got to go after. You restrict him. So first is rebuke, then is restriction. These are good training tips. These are good disciple discipline methods. You restrict. The sake of the house. They're running on the front yard. Jesse and Karis having a good 50-yard dash to the street. We restrict. That's why we have locks. That's why we don't trust them with the door open. That's why it's locked. You say, why are these restrictions in my life? It's because you didn't respond to the rebuke. Sometimes in our spiritual life, there is restriction. Sometimes we don't have the joy and the blessings of life. Sometimes we feel restricted. If tonight you're experiencing some sort of restriction in your prayer life, maybe you're just restriction from even receiving some things from the Word. Maybe there's a sin in your life you need to confess and forsake. And get it right tonight. And get cleansed. And this restriction, again, is to let us know that something's wrong. Hey, there's something wrong when you pray and it seems like you're not getting through. You know why? The Bible says that His hand is not short in Isaiah 59, nor His ear slack, that He cannot hear you, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. If you're not seeing answered prayer, if you're not experiencing that joy and that fellowship with the Lord Jesus, maybe there's something tonight that the Lord's just saying, hey, take a look. Something's wrong. If it's been a while since you've been in God's Word and God has spoken to you, maybe you just need to take a look and say, Lord, is there anything here that You're trying to tell me? Any restriction I need to remove so I can experience the full blessing of Your presence? Then thirdly, there's the rod. There's the rod. Furthermore, we have fathers in our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. And it says, how much more shall we be in subjection and live? You know, the Word of God teaches tonight, there is a sin unto death. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. Now, there are many people, especially in certain regions or in different backgrounds of denomination, that say, hey, you preach eternal security and you just get this idea that a person can get saved and then they can do whatever they want. That's the furthest thing from the truth. Because the Bible teaches that a Christian that is saved, first of all, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Apostle Paul described that day as a day of the terror. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, for every one will give an account of his life before Christ. The Bible also says that those that are truly saved, and they sin, and they say no, and they don't listen to the rebuke, and they're saved, they're truly saved, and they don't listen to the restrictions, and don't respond to the restrictions, and they don't respond to the rod when the things happen in their life, then the Bible says in 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is none unto death, he shall ask, He shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. And do not say you shall pray for it. I believe that a carnal Christian that continues in sin without repenting, without responding to rebuke, without responding to restriction, without responding to the rod, God in His love will call that one home. I think about my children. If they were over my neighbor's house, let's say they were over for a birthday party, over at Bobby's or Susie's and they're playing and they're doing some things at a house that dishonor my name. Let's say they're writing all over the walls and taking Sharpies somewhere and messing everything up. That's a real story, by the way, sometimes in our house. Let's say they're dishonoring and doing some things and speaking bad about who they are and dishonoring me and they're causing problems and difficulties. You think I'm going to let that one stay at that house and just play all day? No, if I'm called and I'm aware of it in my love, I'll go and I'll call that one home. Do you understand tonight that God calls His children home? If we're embarrassing Him on this life, if we continue in sin, there are too many Christians that have been called home from the party early. He's not going to leave us here and let us embarrass Him in this way. You understand, it's not every person that passes away is because any sort of chastisement. I'm speaking specifically of those who have resisted rebuke, resisted the correction, resisted the rod. And the Lord said, come on home. That's love. I've been asked by some, and many times people ask this, can you do this and go to heaven? Can you do this? You know, sometimes God allows us to suffer the own consequences. For instance, I was asked recently, can you smoke and still go to heaven? Yes. But you may get there a lot earlier. You know some things we do in our lives that we experience the natural cause of? And it may not be smoking that you're struggling with tonight. It may be another area that you're going to experience the result of. But if we continue in sin, the Word of God says there is a sin unto death. Tonight, if the Lord speaks to you about a certain area, if you're under His chastening hand when it comes to rebuke, respond. If you're under His chastening hand when it comes to restriction, respond. If you're under the rod, respond. Remember, not everything bad that happens to you is the judgment of God. But if there is an area, I think of James chapter 5. We're going to be in James here in a few weeks. And James says that they call for the elders of the church to lay hands and pray over them and anoint them with oil. And if they have committed these sins, it shall be forgiven them. I believe in the context of that one that has been cast aside to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Someone said, I want to get right and get back. They can experience that healing here. Amen. God's not out to hurt you. He's out to help you. He's not out to destroy you. He's out to develop you. He's your Father. He wants to use you here in this life. He wants you to live this life as a testimony to win people to Jesus Christ, as our brother was speaking about, to share the gospel. And if we do despite to the Spirit of grace, there is that sin unto death. What's the message of chastisement? Say, preacher, I don't know about all this woodshed stuff. It's in the Word. Hebrews 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. It's a comforting message. How is it comforting? It means He loves you. If you get under that rebuke, it's called conviction. The Lord speaks to you about an area, you just thank the Lord that He's still speaking to you. Praise the Lord for that. If you get under an area of restriction, thank the Lord that He's telling you, hey, don't go there, don't do that. If He blocks a door that you want to walk through and you just thank the Lord, thank you for stopping me in that. I can give you testimony after testimony of the Lord keeping me from things, keeping me from activities, restricting and rebuking me and using the rod in my life because He loved me. And I thank the Lord. It's a comforting message. The Lord loves us. He chastens us. It's a correcting message. Verse 13, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Have you been off the pathway of life? Get back on the right path. It's a correcting message. The Lord corrects you. He speaks to you. He rebukes you. He chastens you. You get that restriction, that rebuke, you respond to it, you get the rod, you say, okay, Lord, what will I have me to do? I think about the Apostle Paul, had to be knocked off his high horse for God to speak to him, to get to the point to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Would you just tonight live your life every day? Lord, what do you want me to do? Would you see the examples in Scripture? Would you be like the middle child of the Word of God and say, hey, I've seen this happen. The Bible says, God says He's going to use your life one way or the other, either as a good example and testimony or a bad example of what not to do. You say, look, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. You get back on the right path. You follow Him in obedience. It's a correcting message. And then it's a cautioning message. The word of caution. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. This morning we talked about bitterness. We talked about unforgiveness. And when somebody forgets and chooses peace with all men, you can see the Lord. Think about Esau. When he forgave Jacob, Jacob looked at him and said, I've seen the face of God. When somebody is in a life of living forgiving towards others, you see Jesus. But when somebody's living true holiness, that's not your own holiness. That's not piousness. That's not put it on behavior. That's His presence in you. And there's a difference between someone being pious and somebody true and being holy. It's the Holy Spirit within you. By the way, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, He's going to produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's what it looks like, by the way. We're not talking about external things. Now, the internal will turn external. We're talking about an internal change where people see Jesus in you. And that's what the Lord chastens. That's what the Lord corrects. Sobering message tonight. Let me ask you this evening, are you under correction? Are you under chastisement? Would you respond? When you are, thank the Lord that He loves you. And look to where He's leading you. And follow that path. And look like Jesus as you make things right in your life.